That's the fire one. God has them. Can I get a witness? The presence of the Lord is here in a great way. And we're very blessed to have Brother Morton Bustard here with us today. And yesterday he spoke to our surge, which is, if you graduated from high school up to age 24, their retreat. They had a mighty move of God at the campground. I thank God for the ministry that he has already given to this church this weekend. And he's going to speak a word to us this morning. Welcome, Brother Morton Bustard. We're glad he's here.
Praise his holy name. Amen. You may be seated. I was scanning the crowd to see if any of my special guests showed up. And if you are my special guest, you know who you are. And I don't want to start calling names, but if you would wave your hand, it will show me where you're at, because we did have preferred seating, okay? I'll have to talk to them this week. They stood me up. I was supposed to have about two benches full. But anyhow, I'm trying to do my duty to be a witness for Christ, not in this pulpit, but in this town. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. And college and career kids, listen, this church has so many things to be proud of, but that group that I got to minister to Friday and Saturday, the creme de la creme. Last night I sat and taught for 3 hours. Amen. But we had a wonderful time. They moved out in the Holy Ghost, and that's the way it should be. Amen. Praise the Lord. So good to be here with Pastor Anthony Mangan, his sweet wife, some of my favorite people in all the world. And just getting to sit beside Brother Mangan Sr. and Sister Mangan, goodness sakes alive, 65 years of age, and look at her. Actually, she's only a couple of years away from being an octogenarian, but I'm going to have to find out what brand of vitamins she's taking. And our wonderful district superintendent, my spiritual father, a man that I absolutely love and admire, him and his sweet wife. I would do anything for these people. I mean that with all of my heart. I am humbled and honored to be around such great people. My family, my siblings tell me, Morton, you have so much to be thankful for that you get to hang out with people like this. But I have the task of preaching here this morning, and I feel like an ultralight beside a 747. I really do. But I'm waiting on an unction from the Holy Ghost. So if you would turn your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 20. Amen. I would like to honor all of our visitors. So if you are visiting here this morning, would you wave your hand? Thank you for taking time to join us. God has something for you. I would never want to embarrass anybody for the world. But I have a friend over here, Tanya. I noticed you sitting beside Cole and his sweet wife. Thank you for coming this morning. Wonderful lady. And I've got to know her some. This town is filled with wonderful people that God is doing wonderful things for. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. John chapter 20, verse 19, reading on down. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Seems to me that the supernatural and suffering are synonymous, connected, joined. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. There was something about his past suffering, along with his characteristics and countenance, that had to come into play before they really recognized him. Then said Jesus to them, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. It's a good day. Good things are going to happen. You're not here for a long time. A little bit of more goes a long ways. Father, use us for your glory, we humbly ask. Confirm your word with signs, wonders following. May my body be strengthened, my mind quickened, and may an anointing that is unusual, that is deep, come upon me today. I pray that miracles, I would pray that every backache and headache and heartache would be healed, but would you heal crooked limbs? Would you smite cancers? Would you set people with great addictions free? Would you give prophetic utterances that would just catapult this church to a level which it has never been to before? And may people leave saying, no man doeth these things except God be with him. Oh, would you lay your Bibles down and give the Lord a hand clap in the house? Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of our great King. The Lord is my strength and my power. He maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like the hind's feet. He setteth me upon my high places. Bless him, children. Everybody in the house, lift up his name. I know you're going to help me. You're tired, but you're going to help me. And the sound men are doing a tremendous job. They're just going to crank up my monitors a little bit more. Now you may be seated. In our text, it has only been a couple of days since the worst tragedy known to this planet has occurred. You would not do to an animal, be it pet or predator, what they did to our Lord 2,000 years ago. I don't think that any movie can encapsulate all that he went through, no matter how gory the screen may portray it. Because how in the world do you depict in script and on canvas or on screen sin? A man who was perfect, who never had a wrong thought stay in his mind or wrong intent burn in his heart. How in the world do you take something so pure and stain it with the sin of the world and every worst imaginable and unimaginable sin you could think of or not think of? How in the world do you do it? But it happened 2,000 years ago. See, sometimes you sense danger when you're with the Lord. It seems like you're on the enemy's hit list. So the disciples, fearing that they would be next, they run for their lives. It's a natural reaction. It's a human reaction. We can beat ourselves up over our emotions, but it is the way that God made us. But then the enemy has a way of taking our natural sense of fear and intensifying it until we are in bondage to it, because fear brings bondage. It can seize your blood in its veins. The Bible said it is a spirit. The Bible said it is to run fives. Then it comes into play because they have known him like few people have sat with him at his final passion. They not only were there for the miracles and the signs and the wonders in this world without Jesus. Maybe you don't feel that way, but I need him every hour. I love it when he's near. I love being in his presence. It's fullness of joy at his right hand, pleasures forevermore. I cannot imagine living in this hour without Jesus, without the Comforter, without the Holy Spirit living inside of me. I don't ever want to. I'm like David, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the King, to inquire in his presence. My soul panteth after thee, O God, as a deer after the water brook. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Once you have been in his presence and you have felt hot tears stream down your cheeks as your heart burns within you, because when he speaks, it has a way of melting the heart inside of you. It has a way of soothing away pains. It has a way of bringing peace that passeth understanding. So I really can't fault the disciples for feeling the way that they felt, because Christ has been taken out of their lives. And now they're in a certain house, in a certain room, and they are shut in and shut up because of fear. And fear shuts you in, and fear shuts you up. And there are people in here today who are fearing certain things, and you're in here feeling this tremendous fear, but there's an overpowering force in here, and for 15 minutes I'm going to address that overpowering force, because I know something more powerful than fear. I know something more powerful than cocaine addiction. I know something more powerful than depression. I know something more powerful than cancer. Greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world.
so I'm going to attack fear. I am launching a salvo now against cancer. I am launching a salvo against depression in this house, because while they were shut in and shut up, their answer was no longer where he laid, because he said what he meant. He meant what he said: destroy this temple, but in 3 days I'm going to raise it up. I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. I'm in this for the long haul. You might think that you have seen the last of me, but I'm going to get up, because everything he did was a violation to the natural laws and dynamics. You'll never figure out the supernatural. There's going to be things happening here this morning. You just may as well forget trying to figure them out, because your carnal mind is enmity with God. It's not subject to these laws. Neither indeed can be. I thank God for every attorney that's able to take a case and win it. I thank God for every physician that's able to take a sickness and cure it. But there is a power in here that does what no other power can do. And you're going to have to excuse us, because we love this Holy Ghost business. We love shouting. We love speaking in tongues. And it doesn't sound logical for educated people to speak in a dialect that they don't even know what they're saying. But we know it's real. It's real. It's real. It feels like fire shut up in our bones. We kind of feel like we have to do it. We're tired. We're worn after weeks and weeks of Messiah. But here they are, right back in the presence of God. They are not holding anything back. They're here to give everything, because they know what they're going to get is going to exceed anything they can contribute. I love the moving of the Spirit. I sit here a few weeks ago on a Wednesday night. It'll never get too hot for me. And if God's about to cause a Holy Ghost quake, I want to be dead center of the epicenter. I don't even want an aftershock. I don't want a tremor. I want to be there. I like to be the bullseye of the target when he gets ready to pour down his Holy Ghost rain. I didn't bring an umbrella or a slicker. I want to get under the spout where the glory's going out, getting that coming out. If the Lord's about to strike this place, I hope that he hits me. I'm a little bit greedy this morning. I haven't come just to see you get touched and blessed. I like to have a portion for myself, because I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it when God oversteps the boundaries of Mother Nature and reminds Mother Nature that Father God is calling the shots. Now, honey, he understands mass and matter, but there's nothing about mass and matter that ever did or ever will inhibit him. There's not a natural law in this universe that will ever impede God getting to you. Whew. They tell us that inside the atom is the nucleus. Inside the nucleus is the proton. Inside the proton is the meson. Inside the meson is the boson. Inside the boson is the tau. And now they've reduced the universe to string. And now some are saying the universe is basically energy. We knew that, because in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. And things that we see were not made by things that appear. But He spoke. He spoke. When you reduce this universe to nothing, you have Word. That Word was here on location before that cancer showed up. That Word was on location before the devil showed up. Even his arrival violated every natural law and dynamic. He didn't even make his arrival the natural way. Instead, it was a teenage virgin girl who was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. I believe in the Immaculate Conception. God supplied the blood, but Mary supplied the flesh, and she pushed out of her loins the house of God Almighty. I love it when the Israelites were facing the Red Sea, and behind them was an army. On both sides there were mountains, and there was only one place to look, and that was up. But when you look up, if you just stop looking around and look up this morning to a higher power, He made a way where there seemed to be no way. It doesn't make sense. And theologians will tell you it wasn't the Red Sea, it was the Reed Sea. And there was a lot of mire in the bed of that sea. And thus, the wheels of the church were stopped. You can believe that if you want to. But I believe that all night long, He sent an east wind on the Red Sea. And the waves blew this way and that way and became great water walls. And God's people came through. I think it is absolutely miraculous that 2+ million people walk through a sea on dry ground. Whenever you can walk through a sea on dry ground, that is absolutely miraculous. I love it when a widow doesn't know what she's going to do because the creditor is going to come and take her children because her husband has died and bills are unpaid. And the prophet shows up and said, what do you have in your house? And she's like, some of you, you don't have much. Your bank account's nothing to boast about. Your pedigree's nothing to boast about. You feel like you're the sap of your family tree. You feel like you're rubbing shoulders with people that you don't even belong to be next to, but you're in here because of divine purpose and providence. You're not here just because you're here. God allowed you to be here, so you ought to rejoice because God has something for you today. He provided a way for you to be here. And some of you know you're not. All the way to Christ, but you know that there were certain things that occurred that should have stopped you from being here. But God made a way where there seemed to be no way, and you are here. And the prophet said, what do you have in your house? Nothing but a pot of oil. You have a little pot of oil? God can use that pot of oil. You see, God never asks you to give something you don't have or do anything that you can't do. If you'll just get up and take a step, God will meet you more than halfway. And her sons bring the vessels in and the oil begins to pour. And there's a miracle happening here. Because out of this little cruse of oil, all these empty vessels are being filled up. And finally, the oil stopped, but not because of a limitation in heaven. Because he's only challenged by himself. He can't learn because he is omniscient. He can't enlarge his borders because he's omnipotent. And he can't move. He can manifest because he can't move. Because if I'm going someplace and I'm already there, but I haven't left where I was at, that means I'm omnipresent. He's all of these things and a whole lot more, I might suggest to you. And the only reason why the oil ceased to flow is because there were no more empty vessels. So therefore, I feel confident telling you, he can heal the whole mess of you. He can bless the whole mess of you. He can fill every person in this house today. If we've ever had a service where everybody gets filled and refilled, we can have it right here today. That would be a good thing to say, I would think. Why don't we have a service where everybody's filled with the power of God? Holy Ghost, would you permeate this atmosphere on the balcony, on the main floor, and on the platform, through the corridors and the prayer room, throughout the atrium, in the office area, in the restrooms, God? Would you permeate this air with your prayer, your presence, so that if they'll just repent of their sins, they can inhale Holy Ghost power and breathe out, speak it in tongues? Oh, God, would you let somebody know you don't have to work for it? You don't have to go through calisthenics. You can receive it right now by faith. Oh, you can praise him a little bit better than that now. Come on. I love it when the crowd gathered in Christ before he dismissed it, what do you have to eat? Because he is anxious to heal every body, every sickness, and meet every need of every person. He wants to put money in your pocket. He wants your kids to go to college. He wants you to provide a good home for your family. And if you'll put him first and serve this Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you won't be losing your money at the casino. When we have Holy Ghost revival, casinos will close up because this is not a Vegas bet. This is not a roll of the dice. I tell you, give and it shall be given. Good measure pressed down, shaken together. As a matter of fact, the Bible said you can prove God with your tithe and offering to see if he'll not open the windows of heaven above your head and pour you out a blessing you do not have room. God's got more than you can handle. The little old lad said, Mister, it isn't much, but everything I have is yours. If you'll just turn what you have over to him. if you just stop letting your inhibitions and inferiorities bind you and say, Lord, if you can use anything, you can use me. So here it is. And Mama only packed enough for him. But when he gave it to the master, a miracle happened. He's not a magician. He's a miracle worker. He's wanting you to make a sacrifice. He's wanting you to send up a hallelujah. You need to stop waiting on me to come down and work some magic trick over you. Matter of fact, you really don't need me. You can get this all by yourself because the Holy Ghost is in the building. I don't have time to call everything and everybody out, but He's as close to you as the mention of His name. I really do believe that this atmosphere has become thick with Holy Ghost power, and anything can happen in here. I am not looking back to a day of miracles. I am so excited about what is happening right here and in Chile. But I want to tell you by webcast, whether you're a missionary or whether you're a saint in some church in foreign soil or whether you're right here in North America, get ready for what God is about to do. Because I declare that the reason why there's chaos in the natural world is because there's turmoil in the spirit world. But God is about to arise and His enemies are about to become scattered. This generation will see the greatest group of prophets that any church has ever been privileged to see. Woo! I'm going to attack doubt every place I go. Anybody that doesn't want revival, don't bring me. I'm not a babysitter. I haven't come to some country club. I want to get dirty with revival. I want to cast out devils. I don't want to go to a bunch of pompous Pentecostals. I want to go with people with problems who are hungry for Jesus, who say, I want Him. I need Him. I'll take Him. Any way it comes to me, I'll take it. You get good and hungry. You won't be concerned about getting meat from the talons of a buzzard. You'll take it any way God sends it to you. I'm taking way too much time, but let's get back into it. And Jesus took the loaves of fish, bread and the fish, and He multiplied it. And by the time they were through, they were holding on their bellies, thinking they never needed to eat again. But the Lord said, collect the leftovers. I hope you bought some baskets with you this morning, because there's more power here than what this church can handle. Oh, you didn't hear me. I'm going to tell you one thing. There's power to remove every spirit of depression in this house. There's power to remove every spirit of cancer in this house. And I'm going to say it again. There's power to fill every empty vessel inside this house. We should be taking home baskets by the time God's through with us today. And the reason why the loaves of bread were not further multiplied nor the fish was because He met the need of the crowd. But I'm of the opinion that way back in the Old Testament, if somebody would have kept bringing empty vessels from that day to this, the oil would have kept on flowing. You know why? His resources are inexhaustible. I am of the opinion if they would have kept gathering in the wilderness that day by the millions, that the fish would have kept on being multiplied, and likewise the bread even to this day, because you will never exhaust God. I told you that His very entrance in this world violated every natural law and dynamic. He is into overpowering nature. Nature does not cause Him to fear. Nothing in this world will upset Him. I heard a message a while ago how that Jesus not only slept on the boat that night and spoke that night, but in the middle of perhaps a hurricane gale, and a meteorologist will tell you it could have been 120 mile an hour wind in a wooden craft without gyroscopes or GPSs, with timber snapping like twigs. Perhaps 120 mile an hour wind and people fearing because the ship was now full. He not only slept and spoke, He stood. Now you tell me how somebody stands in a hurricane gale in a wooden vessel about to sink. It's because nothing throws him off balance. Nothing upsets him. We have this anchor. We have this sure foundation in Christ. My biblical insight is shallow, but I understand the reason why He parted the Red Sea. I understand the reason why He multiplied the oil in the cruise. I understand why He multiplied loaves of bread and fish that day a few thousand years ago. But would somebody explain to me how that when Jesus comes, you see, He has His own way of coming to you. You're never going to figure Him out. He's probably right next to you now, and you might not even be aware of it, but He is here because fear cannot keep Him away. I know you feel separate from Him, but nothing can keep Him away. Nails can't keep Him away. A cross can't keep Him away. Nails can't keep him away. A cross can't keep him away. Angry Roman soldiers, Caiaphas, Pilate, the Pharisees could not keep him away. You have to understand, if he is going to get to you, nothing is going to stand in his way. While they were shut in and shut up because of fear, he was on his way to them. He was on his way to dispel the fear. And here he comes. Here comes peace. Here comes power. And fear is about to leave this house today. When he came, he walked through a wall as if it wasn't there in the first place. Oh, come on and clap your hands unto him now. Musicians, please get at your post and get ready. Because here it comes. This is an unusual man. Never a man spake like this man. He talks to trees. He talks to seas. And they obey his every command. And here he comes. He came all the way to where the disciples were. And he didn't bother to knock. Sometimes he doesn't knock. Because if you have fear, sometimes the fear can be proliferated by a knock on the door. Because he has not come to maximize anything the devil is doing to you. He has come to do the opposite. If you have fear, he's not going to worsen the fear. If you have pain, he's not going to worsen the pain. He had his own way of coming to them. Well, if he can move death, I think he can move the tumblers in that lock and get inside.